From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 25th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Central Maine Power said on Monday that it had 400 crews out working to restore power. Spokesman Jonathan Breed says important work was completed during the weekend with the repair of damage to substations and major transmission lines.
Getting that transmission system fixed first is key. And today we are turning our focus to finishing the damage assessment and working on the distribution. The distribution is the poles and wires you see on your streets and in your neighborhoods.
Some 200,000 customers lost power over the weekend due to the Saturday storm, which ended with an extended period of freezing rain in large parts of southern Maine. A proposal from state environmental regulators could open the door to lithium mining in western Maine at a time when the metal is in high demand for rechargeable batteries and high-tech devices. But as Kevin Miller reports, the idea has divided environmentalists.
It's been about 2 years since news first emerged that land in Newry could potentially hold one of the world's most valuable lithium deposits. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection initially said any effort to extract the lithium would have to meet Maine's stringent metallic mining rules. But the department is now proposing that lithium mining be regulated like quarrying for granite or gravel, as long as the metal is encased in a type of rock that won't create toxic runoff. Nick Bennett, staff scientist at the Natural Resources Council of Maine, told lawmakers on Monday that he was satisfied with the testing the DEP will require to prove a lithium mine won't generate acid rock drainage, which is a major problem around gold, silver, and other metallic mines.
If you show you don't have a risk for acid mine drainage or metal leaching or radioactive contamination, then you can use an open pit method to extract the material, much like we would let you use an open pit method to extract granite or gravel.
But Eliza Townsend with the Appalachian Mountain Club urged lawmakers to proceed cautiously and add more testing requirements as well as dark sky lighting restrictions. And several members of the public warned that a large open pit mine could ruin an area of the western Maine mountains known for its natural beauty. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine's utilities will no longer be allowed to cut off power to customers during severe heat and other extreme weather events under a new measure signed by Governor Janet Mills. Electric and gas utilities are already prohibited from disconnecting a meter due to unpaid bills between mid-November and mid-April. But a new law requires the Public Utilities Commission to create rules prohibiting disconnections during any extreme weather or temperature conditions. Maine Public Advocate Bill Harwood says the measure will be important as climate change leads to hotter summers, during which air conditioning may become a necessity.
And I don't think that will have a huge impact on CMP and Versant's bottom line, but it could have a very significant impact on those ratepayers who are struggling to stay cool.
In testimony, Maine's largest electric utilities indicated support for the new weather disconnection rules, and Central Maine Power says it already stops disconnections during periods of high heat. The proposed Gorham Connector route from the Maine Turnpike Authority faces pushback from a popular dairy farm in its path. Smiling Hill Farm in Westbrook says the 4.5-mile highway would harm the 300-year-old farm. Nick Song has more.
To complete its planned 4.5-mile-long route, the Maine Turnpike Authority would need to purchase 45 acres from the 550-acre farm. That might not seem too large a number, but farm co-owner Warren Knight says the road would also prevent Smiling Hill from easily accessing another 70 acres of their land.
Taking land away from a farm is like taking tables out of a restaurant, taking classrooms out of a school, removing desks from an office. It has an immediate negative effect on the overall business. To survive, a farm requires land, and when that land is lost and unable to be replaced, the farm dies.
In addition to producing and selling dairy products, Smiling Hill Farm also hosts its own cross-country skiing course and offers tours of the farm. MTA hopes to communicate further with residents by hosting community input sessions for the project. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
Farm workers, labor advocates, and employers will weigh in on Tuesday on a bill crafted by Governor Janet Mills that would require that agricultural workers be paid $14.15 an hour, the state minimum wage. The proposed law also requires farm employers to keep records of hours worked and compensation and provide pay stubs. Worker advocate Tom Hartnett says one gap in the bill is that it doesn't provide farm workers with a right of action if they're underpaid.
Under the proposed statute, only the Department of Labor can bring an action for unpaid wages. All other workers in Maine, when it comes to minimum wage, have the ability to bring a lawsuit on their own when that right has been violated. Under this proposal, farm workers do not have that right.
The Department of Labor is requesting that voluntary unpaid rest breaks and limits on mandatory overtime be included in the legislation. A public hearing on the measure is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Tuesday in Augusta. L.L. Bean heiress, entrepreneur, and philanthropist Linda Bean has died. She was a granddaughter of L.L. Bean's founder, but created several businesses of her own, including the hospitality enterprise Linda Bean's Perfect Maine. In 2019, she contributed to the construction of a new helipad atop the Colombe family tower at Maine Medical Center.
So from the far reaches of Maine, more lives can now be saved. The Colombe family tower is a gift not just to Portland, but to the entire state of Maine and its remotest outposts on land and sea.
Bean was also active in politics, running twice for Congress as a Republican in the 1st District. Linda Bean died on Saturday. She was 82 years old. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we'll talk about what it's like to be in your 20s. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.